She calls the police for the third time this month. Her partner has smashed another phone, blocked the door again, screamed threats that made the walls shake. The operator asks the question that will haunt her for years. Why don't you just leave? As if it were that simple. As if love, fear, hope, and terror didn't coexist in the same racing heartbeat. Every 9 seconds in America, someone experiences this impossible moment, trapped between the person they love and the person who hurts them. What most people don't understand is that leaving an abuser isn't the end of the nightmare. It's often just the beginning of a different kind of survival. Recognizing abuse while you're living through it feels like trying to see clearly underwater. Everything appears distorted, and you're not even sure which way is up anymore. Abuse rarely announces itself with a dramatic first punch. Instead, it creeps in gradually, disguised as concern, devotion, even love. The cycle operates like a psychological trap with a door that locks behind you before you realize you've entered. First comes the honeymoon phase: flowers, apologies, promises, the person you fell in love with. Then tension builds over something small. You came home late, spoke to a coworker, wore the wrong outfit. You learn to give in, to smooth things over, anything to avoid the inevitable explosion. But the explosion comes anyway: yelling, violence, destruction, terror. Afterward, more apologies, more promises, more honeymoons. Round and round, faster and faster, until you can't remember what normal feels like. The real question isn't why you stayed. It's how you'll reclaim the life that was systematically stolen from you, piece by piece, day by day. The abuse you endured wore many faces. Emotional abuse, the constant message that you're worthless, crazy, unlovable, often cuts deeper than physical wounds. Your abuser made you feel responsible for their violence, minimized incidents, threatened harm, controlled your movements and relationships. Verbal abuse turned words into weapons. Ridicule, accusations, name-calling delivered to your most vulnerable places. Spiritual abuse weaponized sacred beliefs, twisting religious texts to justify control, mocking your values, blocking religious participation. Physical abuse often left no visible marks. The push that looks accidental, the grab leaving no bruise, violence hidden beneath clothing and excuses. Why didn't you just leave? You stayed because you believed the promises, thought if you tried harder, the person you loved would return. You stayed because leaving meant losing your home, financial security, perhaps your children. You stayed because after years of being told you're worthless, you believed it. You stayed because your abuser promised to kill you, your children, your pets, themselves. You stayed because leaving is when abusers become most dangerous. What outsiders call staying was an intricate daily calculation. Which choice leads to less harm? The emotional attachment you feel isn't weakness, it's traumatic bonding, as real as gravity. When abuse alternates unpredictably with affection, when you're isolated from outside perspectives, your brain forms attachments as a survival mechanism. You survived. That took extraordinary strength. Leaving doesn't guarantee safety. 3/4 of domestic violence incidents reported to police occur after separation. The most dangerous time is often right after you leave, when your abuser's control is most threatened. Your risk depends on specific factors. Did your abuser threaten what would happen if you left? Do they have access to weapons? Did the violence escalate over time? Have they threatened your children, family, or pets? Complete safety may be impossible, but you can take decisive action. If you're in immediate danger, temporary relocation to a shelter might save your life. Prepare escape routes from every room. Keep essentials, keys, money, medications, restraining orders, where you can grab them instantly. Build relationships with local police, providing your abuser's photo and description. Program emergency numbers into every phone. Enlist neighbors as allies with a signal system. Teach children escape routes and safe places. Consider security systems with panic buttons, solid doors with strong locks, and motion-sensing lights. Alert workplace security and vary your commuting routes. Trust your instincts completely. If you sense danger, call police immediately. Abuse grows in soil prepared by cultural messages about gender, power, and relationships. Boys learn that aggression equals strength, while boys will be boys excuses violence. Girls learn to be submissive. Boys raised in households where fathers rule as king absorb male entitlement, learning that power belongs to men and anger is their only acceptable emotion. Sexual messages reinforce control dynamics. The phrase "behind closed doors" discourages people from seeking help. These cultural patterns don't cause abuse, but they create environments where abuse can flourish unchallenged. Sexual abuse in intimate relationships is about power and control, not desire. Many survivors struggle to name what happened as assault because it came from someone they loved. But unwanted sexual contact is assault regardless of relationship status, including forced touching, coerced acts, and rape through violence, threats, or worn-down resistance. Society perpetuates the dangerous myth that stranger rape is more traumatic than partner rape. Often the opposite proves true. Being violated by someone you trusted can shatter your reality more profoundly. The effects last for years. Survivors experience profound shock. This violation doesn't fit any framework for understanding relationships. Your mind may block the memory or alter it to seem less traumatic, a protective mechanism. Sexual assault intensifies isolation through guilt, embarrassment, depression, and shattered self-esteem. Many survivors feel permanently dirty, taking countless showers yet never feeling clean. How could I have loved someone who treated me so terribly? This question haunts survivors. But love isn't rational. Most abusive relationships begin wonderfully. Your partner seemed attentive, charming, committed. The painful discovery that these special qualities were warning signs leads to profound self-doubt. That attentiveness was control. That jealousy was possessiveness. Abuse creeps in gradually, with periods of harmony between crises. Your partner's promises to change, their conditional apologies, their claims that you caused the abuse, all convinced you that changing your behavior could prevent it. The love you felt was real. What wasn't real was the belief that you could love them enough to stop the abuse. You can't. You never could. That's not your failure, it's theirs. When any relationship ends, pain follows, even abusive ones. Despite relief at escaping, you're experiencing profound losses. Parts of yourself, companionship, sexual intimacy, trust, dreams for the future, economic security. You may feel fundamentally changed, once outgoing, now withdrawn, once assertive, now passive. These shifts represent real losses, though your authentic self remains intact beneath the trauma and can gradually reemerge. You miss having someone to share daily experiences with. You mourn physical intimacy and your sexual innocence, the ability to feel comfortable and trusting with a partner. You're grieving the life you envisioned, marriage, children, growing old together. Even knowing the relationship was toxic doesn't diminish grief for these lost dreams. You've likely lost connections to your abuser's family and mutual friends. You're not just grieving what you lost, you're grieving what never existed, the relationship you thought you had but never actually did. Strong emotions often linger for months or years. Fear persists because your body remembers, even when you're intellectually safe. Everyday occurrences that previously set off your abuser trigger conditioned fear responses. Guilt persists even when you intellectually know the abuse wasn't your fault. Depression is nearly universal. Changes in eating and sleeping, feelings of hopelessness, loss of interest in activities, overwhelming sadness. Survivors of severe abuse may develop PTSD, extreme responses to startling events, persistent feelings that something terrible is about to happen, and intrusive thoughts that feel like you're reliving the abuse. These responses aren't weakness. They're your nervous system trying to protect you from dangers that no longer exist. Rebuilding self-esteem after abuse means believing you deserve happiness as much as anyone else. Recognizing your worth isn't conceit. It's essential to healing. Self-critical thoughts often echo your abuser's words or others who undermine your confidence. When self-doubt arises, identify whose voice you're hearing. Abusers strategically targeted your insecurities to maintain control. Their criticisms were weapons, not truths. When someone begrades you long enough, you internalize that critical voice, giving it tremendous power because it comes from within. Change is difficult, even positive change. Letting go of negative self-perceptions can feel frightening as it leads to unfamiliar territory. Remember that perfection isn't required. Allow yourself to be human with faults while still recognizing your worth. You are not what was done to you. You are what you survived, what you're rebuilding, what you're becoming. After surviving abuse, new relationships feel terrifying. Approach potential partners with caution. Your experience has equipped you to recognize warning signs early. Healthy relationships require equality, respect, and trust. Equality means balanced partnership with shared decision-making. Respect should permeate all interactions. Acceptance of your whole person, not just specific traits. Trust means relying on your partner's honesty, knowing you'll never face abuse. Watch for warning signs. Being placed on a pedestal signals danger. It represents their expectations, not your authentic self. Extreme persistence, refusing to take no for an answer, or pushing for rapid commitment indicates potential abuse. Test by slowing the pace. Healthy partners respect boundaries. Showing up unannounced or demanding excessive time reveals control issues. Early or disproportionate jealousy stems from insecurity and control, not love. Before starting a relationship, evaluate your readiness. You need self-esteem to enter as an equal partner, believing you deserve loving, respectful treatment. Address issues like depression, fear, trust problems, anger, or substance abuse first. Trust your timing. Don't let anyone rush you. You've walked through fire and emerged transformed. Every boundary you set, every moment you refuse to accept less than you deserve, these are revolutionary acts. Your life is truly yours now, not his, not defined by what was done to you, but yours to rebuild, reimagine, and reclaim.